uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being here with us tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. So glad you could join us, and we're broadcasting here. And first free-for-all Friday show we've done in a while. We used to do free-for-all Friday where, you know, we pretty much talk about anything and anything goes, but I guess we do that all the time. But anyway, we are here with you for another live edition here tonight, and continue today. Not a lot of topics, so I revert you back to what I had mentioned last night on the show. You know, something big being in the works. It certainly does appear that way when you look at it, doesn't it? It really does. But nonetheless, theglobalreality.com is my website where this broadcast originates from. It's www.theglobalreality.com, and you can go there and find links to listen to the stream live. You will find the archives. You'll find the chat room. There's people in there. You can join the interactive part of the conversation. See, I just touched something here. It made something go crackle and not sound very good. What is going on? Give me a second. Oh, yeah, that's better. Always weird technical stuff going on. Anyway, yeah, chat room's there. My documentary films are up there, including my newest documentary film, The Secret Volume 2. It says Buy SR2. Click on that, and it'll take you where you need to go. The first round of the DVDs and Blu-rays shipped out today, so we're going to be shipping out more tomorrow and the day after that. So the shipping is now in full-fledged motion, so please keep an eye on your mailboxes next week, as you guys will be receiving your packages very soon. And I hope you enjoy the movie, and please feel free to shoot me an email, globalrealityshow@gmail.com, anytime or during the show or after you watch the film, and you know, let me know what you thought about it. So globalrealityshow@gmail.com. If you have emails tonight, questions about anything, you can email those in. And again, if you do want to see my newest film, The Secret Volume 2, which is a follow-up to The Secret Volume 1, which you can watch on YouTube or under the documentary tab at my website, theglobalreality.com. It's the continuation and the deeper elements of this, and really the exploration of the roots of the conspiracy culture, where that goes back to, the foundations of that, the connections of those people. And we get into the Jesuits a bit in there. We get into the Kennedy conspiracy a bit in there, within to show the connections to that, to the foundations of the conspiracy movement with the John Birch Society, and those connections. We also get into the Jeff Gannon, Johnny Gosch ordeal in that in the film as well. And then the last part of the film, we get into Alex Jones and Ron Paul, and talk a little bit about the rock wall and stuff at the end there. So it's 2 hours and 48 minutes, and it's, you know, it's been done now for about a month and a half. almost 2 months. And this is how, you know, this is how films are. It takes, you know, once they're done and you get everything duplicated, you know, it takes a long period of time before it gets out to people and they see it. And so, it's kind of, that's kind of the space I'm at right now while constantly and still, working on the next documentary film and trying to put that together. We're having a 2012 kickoff fundraiser. We started this month kind of low in funds because all the projects we've had going on and paying bills and just the craziness of the holidays and everything. And what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to go to some of the archaeological locations and go out and shoot some stuff for the film. And I'm wanting to do that in the next month or so. Reason being is because I want to do it while the weather is still the way it is right now, for it's too warm. Because in a lot of these locations, you start getting out there, especially, well, where the location where I'm going to be going at are here in, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, stuff like that. That's going to be pretty much it, I think, just for this round. Anyway, if I get more backing and more support for the film in the coming months, then I plan to travel to other places as well. But right now, just talking about doing small, you know, local things I can travel to, you know, within a few hours away. And the places I've scoped out that I want to do right now, go shoot footage at, I can. But, you know, if you wait too long, if I wait till, you know, March or April or something to go out and do this and don't get it done now, especially with the time schedule I'm trying to stay on to have this thing done by, like, you know, summer. You start running into the things like, you know, you get start getting down here in some of these fields. You're just rattlesnake havens, man, down here in Texas and Oklahoma and shit. I mean, it's fucking rattlesnakes, dude, copperheads. It, you know, it's just bad news. But when you're, you know, when you're going out and going into some of these, like this, I hear this Phoenician fortress thing that they found in Oklahoma that I want to go check out and shoot some footage of. I heard that can be a snake heaven if you're not careful. But anyway, those are things I'm doing. I'm working on. I'm looking at logistics and looking at things like that. So that's what our partly what our 2012 kickoff fundraiser is about. Other part of that'll be, you know, go towards the operating costs and the bills and everything. But the other part is going to go towards, you know, renting a vehicle, gas, expenses, stuff like that, just to travel these places and get this footage. Cause this is going to be like my first real, legitimate, you know, documentary style film where it's all shot, with my camera and, you know, it's not just a bunch of clips edited together. Hold on a second. Is there a goddamn Mercury retrograde around again I didn't hear about? Oh, it'll work fine for weeks, and then it'll just start being crappy again. Man, I'm ready to throw all this shit out here, all of this, and just start from new. I bought used stuff and, you know, replaced tubes and things and, fixed things. I just need to buy all this new stuff here. Anyway, that's what that's there for. So that's what I'm currently working on right now, as well as trying to get out the newest film. If you want to do an interview for the CRI Volume 2 and you'd like a review copy before you have me on the show, send me an email, goldenrealityshow@gmail.com. Those of you out there who want to try and do your part to get me on other shows, be my guest. Please send emails to whatever. Radio shows, TV shows, it doesn't matter, whatever you want to do. I don't care. Magazines. Well, send emails and ask, you know, these shows to have me on and look at this information. Because with all of this political horseshit that's going on right now, and I said this the last time when the Secret Volume 1 was out, you know, you would think with all of this subterfuge and all this political horseshit that goes on during the election cycles, you would think that a film like this would just be a field day for left-wing liberal media that wants to assail the right further than they already have. The problem with that is that they start to realize that if they start exposing that end of stuff, they understand that it exposes them as well, and people start to see the whole side of the phony thing. So That's why these people are scared of giving the Cigarette Volume 1 or 2 any light of day recognition and acknowledgement, even acknowledging that it's even there. Because otherwise, again, you know, this should be this should normally be just a field day for the left-wing media. You know, they're happy to all day long tell you that Ron Paul is a racist and tell you that he's a white supremacist and all this stuff, but they don't dare tell you why that should concern you. Other than just, oh, well, that's racist and it's bad to be, to not like another, you know, person because of their race. That's it. That's all they tell you. It's all the information they give you. Well, that's not the whole story. And I don't like Ron Paul as much as the next guy, but at least I don't like him because I've done the research and I realize the reasons why not to like him. And the reason why you shouldn't like him is because he's another politician. He's just as bad as any of the other ones. He's just a puppet. And so, you know, that's what they're afraid of people seeing. You would think that, you know, again, as they're all day long, they want to call him a racist, this and that and the other, but they don't want to tell you why that's important. They don't want to tell you that these connections run through the heart of all these different groups and the real agendas behind it. And that's why my film, The Cigarette Volume 2, is important. Because when you understand what's really going on, you understand, oh my God, you know, it's a psychological operation. That's what it is. And they psychologically manipulate these controlled variables and these phony signs they create left and right in these divisions to divide and conquer us, the citizens. And they use that to keep us controlled and keep us right where they want us. See, we people who were really enlightened to the real reality of this control system would not for a second, ladies and gentlemen, entertain the idea that the system of politics as it currently stands right now is in any way, shape, or form good, even if you got the most perfect, spotless people in there running the thing. You see? That's the problem. That's what Alex Jones and Ron Paul are all lying to you about. If these guys really knew the reality of the real controllers, they would renounce this entire political system altogether and wouldn't participate in it. But their willingness to support and get behind and participate in this system that has been proven a billion times over to be a de facto control system for the powers that be themselves, if they knew that, they would not be telling you to vote for them or anything else. They would tell you, you know what? This whole goddamn thing is phony. This is who controls it. If you support me and you support what I believe in, this is what Ron Paul should tell, you know, the United States. If you support me and you support what I believe in, you shouldn't support this system and the way with it, of the elected officials and all this stuff at all. But he's not going to do that, ever, because he's one of their boys. It's driving me crazy tonight. This thing will not quit being... oh, geeky. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, globalrealityshow@gmail.com is my email address. If you want to send an email in tonight, thanks to everybody for being out there tonight and listening, being out there always. Out there on YouTube videos, listening later on in other broadcasts and rebroadcasts and everything else. Thanks to everybody. We're going to get into some news tonight. We're also going to get into Chapter 14 of the Kabbalion. Chapter tonight is mental gender. So we'll get into that tonight for you here on the broadcast as well. Let's see what we have in the news stack tonight. It looks like they've been running some pretty hardcore police state type drills in the United States this weekend. It's pretty interesting. They turned a Social Security benefits office where a bunch of old folks were piling into. They turned this motherfucker into a straight up checkpoint, armed military checkpoint. Man, these guys had full semi-auto machine guns, mandatory identification. They set it up like it was a fucking police state checkpoint and ran this drill. No shit. It's from the Daily Commercial. Training exercise startles locals. It may have looked like they were ready for war or some deranged person looking for his state for his late Social Security benefits, but it was only Federal Protective Service officers with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security who were conducting a random training operation. I love that. Random. We just decide at any given point, it's random when we're going to have a drill. We just decide to have a training operation randomly. Right. I mean, folks, that you know, that smacks of Nazi Germany right there. Come on. Yeah, we just assigned we were going to set up, and we're going to pretend that this is a drill, but really, this is actually the real deal. I mean, folks, they can tell you it's a training exercise all day long. If they make you wait in line, and they've got machine guns with live ammo, and they're asking you for papers, please, it's not a fucking drill. They can, you know, they can spout that random training operation horseshit all day fucking long, and only a goddamn brain dead idiot would believe that. Random training operation, my ass. Bullshit. They took each and every one of these people, these random people who came into the Social Security Administration office, probably already, you know, a big pain in the dick for these people on a monthly basis anyway, because, you know, they're trying to get their money out of the government, and good luck with that. So on top of the monthly humiliation and frustration of having to deal with the Social Security Administration and any kind of government agency, on top of that, they choose to have a random training exercise. I'm sorry, let me get it right. A random training operation at the Social Security Administration downtown Leesburg, Florida. So... And it says right here, I mean, they took everybody's IDs, they swiped them in, they, you know, this was a military-style armed checkpoint that they used real, actual people with real, actual identifications in, and then just told everybody it was just a random training exercise. So you now actually physically corral people in against their will for mandatory checkpoints with live ammo. And really collect people's identification and information, papers, please. And with no other authority or reasoning other than just, oh, it's just a random training, so we can just decide to do it anytime. So that means that they can set these things up anywhere. And they don't really have to even, you know, have the authority or the reason to do it. Because technically on the books, it's not actually a checkpoint. Because they've outlaw those in most places. Locals have gotten behind it and fought them, but so this must be, I knew they'd get around it somehow. This is how they're getting around it, isn't it? So instead of saying, okay, we're setting up checkpoints, they make that illegal, people won't get behind that. What they do is they say, okay, well, we're going to do a random training operation. And what this random training operation is going to do is going to be a training operation in the event that there was, you know, a major catastrophe or a major situation and we had to, you know, corral people in like cattle and give them their rations and, you know, shoot anybody that made any false moves or anything else, right? So they can just, so they don't have to have the authority to be able to launch full-blown checkpoints, but they can just run as many random training operations as they want all the time now without, you know, technically actually running checkpoints. That's brilliant. And I bet you 5-1, a lawyer figured that one out. I mean, that just sounds like a fucking lawyer trick, doesn't it? It was only Federal Protective Service officers with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security who were conducting a random training operation early Tuesday morning when they surprisingly showed up at the Social Security Administration office in downtown Leesburg. With their blue and white SUVs circled around the Main Street office, at least one official was posted on the door with a semi-automatic rifle, randomly checking identifications, and other officers, some with canines, sifted through the building. "I thought someone was upset about not getting their check," said Laura Kelly, who took a friend to the office on Tuesday. According to one Homeland official in Washington, D.C. office, Operation Shield is an effort that uses routine, unannounced visits by FPS inspectors to test the effectiveness of contract guards or protective security officers detecting the presence of unauthorized persons and potentially disruptive or dangerous activities. My God, listen to that vague Gestapo lawyer speak. I mean, you know, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it, and that's why we are repeating history right now, because the doomed Americans who have been sucked into media and culture have ignored their history, and they run around and call anybody and everybody a Nazi without even really even knowing the history behind it or anything else. It's unbelievable. But that's the world we live in now, folks. It's here now. Part of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, FPS, is the federal law enforcement agency that provides integrated security and law enforcement services to over 9,000 federally owned and leased buildings, facilities, properties, and other assets. See how vague that is? Well, we own this building, so we can come in and do this anytime we want. Officers on the scene would not speak to the press, and by noon they were gone. But Thomas Milligan, district manager for the Social Security Administration office, said while the visit came as a surprise, the office was ready. He added the officers checked video, security measures, alarm systems, and more. It was to make sure security measures are in place and properly followed. Really? So that much security going on at the place where they cut checks, huh? I mean, really? But, they're ramping this stuff up, and this is exactly what they want. They want everybody to have this, you know, pissed off, lock and load mentality for it. This is going to be the year, man. This is going to be the year. We could see full-blown civil war, race riots, assassinations, phony terror events, fucked up ass weather-related events, probably relating to the sun. I think we're going to see it all this year. Full color 3D. It's going to be better than a fucking Will Smith movie. I hope you're ready. I say bring it on. Fuck it. Let's do it. I'm tired of talking about it. You know, see some action. Let's see some action, or let's shut the fuck up. How about that? I'm going to continue to fight this and continue to expose this and make films and do radio show, regardless of whether or not the fucking Mayan calendar is right or not. I don't give a fuck about all that. I don't give a damn. But my point is, instead of just telling us for years and years, oh, the shit's coming, let's see some shit, motherfuckers. What do you got, you pussies? Pull the trigger. You don't have shit. Because you pussies in the New World Order are just as fucking scared as anybody else is. You know, we're supposed to be scared of these guys. These little fags like David Rockefeller.
I was at the Pratt House on Friday.
Jesus, that's who we're supposed to be afraid of? These little panty waists who... fucking Mr. Burns and his liver spots? That's really what we're supposed to be afraid of? You guys want to do something, pull the fucking trigger. I'm sick of this, you know, wars and rumors of wars and horse shit. No, this is coming and that's coming. Either do something or shut the fuck up. How about that? This is an open call and an open request to the New World Order, the elite, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the Jews, the Vatican, the CFR, the CMP, the Freemasons, the fucking PTA, any of these groups. I don't give a fuck who they are. You're a part of this. This is an open call to you. You ready for this?
Shit or get off the fucking pot.
Yeah, you back there in the cheap seats. Let me turn it up for you here. Shit
or get off
the fucking pot. Seriously, pull the fucking trigger, do something, launch a war, launch a nuke, wipe half of us out, do something. You pussies aren't going to do shit. You're just going to continue to talk and talk and talk and talk and do little things here and there and make us all scared. Well, guess what? Eventually, the scaremongering's not going to work anymore. The Chicken Little stuff's not going to work anymore. The sky is falling? No. Let's see what you got. You know what? Honestly, I don't think you guys got it in you. I think you're just going to continue to put out your little disinfo ops with Jonesy and who are the rest of these control clowns. Keep everybody in a fucking constant state of fear. Continue to degrade the economy. Continue to degrade the environment. And just continue to push forward in your supremacy and your want to merge with technology and machines and your want to become gods. Shit or get off the pot. I think 2012 is going to be an interesting year, but I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be like Y2K part two. Not to say there's not going to be some crazy, amazing, interesting, awesome things that are going to happen and probably terrible, disgusting, horrible, reprehensible things that are going to happen this year. But guess what? That's life. That's how the world is. Problem is, it doesn't have to be that way. But if we continue to support these systems that enable these things to play out this way, then it is going to continue to be that way. And saying that, the system of government, the system of voting that we have is okay right now, that's fine. We're okay with that. We're just not okay with the people that's in it. We want our people in there. Yeah, you want your side in there. So you can bring in Sharia law. That's what these CMP fuckers want to do. They want to bring in Sharia law. There's in C. Wright Volume 2, at the very beginning of that clip from Keith Olbermann's show. They talk about the CMP guys believing in the Sharia stuff. Yeah, Santorum wants to impose Judeo-Christian Sharia. This was in on CNN today. Santorum 1 pushes for less government regulation for corporations, blah, blah, blah. Then there's Santorum 2. This Santorum wants to impose conservative Christian law upon America. That's the Blackwater Doctrine. That's the CMP Doctrine. That's the Secret Rights Doctrine. But what you understand is that why do you think it is that these Republicans and these right-wingers want to bring in Sharia law, which is a Muslim Islamic law, when you see that Blackwater and the right-wingers and all this stuff want to kill the Muslims? See, people can't wrap their fucking heads around that. It's too much for them. They don't have enough context, enough info. Well, I wouldn't believe it. Rick Santorum don't want to bring in no Christian Sharia law. That's what them goddamn A-rabbers do. He's a Christian. Christian wouldn't want to have nothing to do with no Sharia law like them goddamn ragheads are into. Shit. Goddamn CNN, Clinton Nazi News Network. I don't believe a goddamn thing them liberals over there say anyway. Shit. But that's a commonly held thing. But the reasoning is that, and this is what Alex Jones and the rest of these secret right fucking cocksuckers won't tell you either. That's the whole reason why I've been exposing them. Is that at the core of it, it's the priest class, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Jesuits. It's the Vatican. They control all world religions. And the reason why you see Sharia law being is one of the major tenets of Islam is because The priest class control Islam just as much as they control Judaism or Christianity or anything else. And so they are extending this ideology of Sharia law through two different tentacles that to the public eye and apparently, you know, from what we see, you know, you've got the Christian fundamentalists and the Crusaders and Blackwater, and we're, you know, we're going to go in the Templar One and wipe us out, some lay some Hajis out on cardboard. But yet, meanwhile, we're going to institute their law so we can be free of, you know, punishment and all this crap. That's because the all extremism is a result of these priest class cocksuckers. You can see two examples of that in the film very clearly, in my new film. You have Barry Goldwater saying extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. And then later in the film, when you see the Pedro Arrupe Black Pope Georgetown clip in there, or it may, it may have been that clip. Actually, not that clip. It was a clip right around that same time, but it was a news clip we had about Pedro Arrupe in the film as well. And they say in this ABC News clip that Pedro Arrupe was quoted as saying something like, violent extremism in the face of tyranny is acceptable, or something of that nature. And you see this quite a bit. If you go and research, you'll find many examples of this, where you have right-wing, far extreme right-wing pundits like Barry Goldwater, who's still held up by Christian conservatives and right-wingers and Truth Movement people and Patriot Movement people. I've heard modern-day Patriot people that I used to do radio shows with praise Barry Goldwater and call themselves modern-day Goldwater conservatives. Several radio hosts I used to be on radio networks with did that, ladies and gentlemen. So you see, this has been why they haven't wanted you to know about the CMP. This is why they haven't wanted you to know about the secret right. This is why they've been getting scared, because if you figure this out, you're going to figure out the whole goddamn thing. I mean, this should be blowing people's minds. See, Antorum wants you to oppose Judeo Christian Sharia. Yeah. Why is it the Islamic fundamentalists want or follow Sharia and the crazy right-wing nutters want to do it too? Because it's coming from the same source that controls both Islam and Judaism, Christianity, and all of it. The priest class themselves, folks. I mean, this is why I fucking spent all these years making these films. Why don't you see it? I hate to try and beat people over the head with information, but goddammit, I'm getting to the point where I feel like that's my only choice anymore. You have to beat people over the fucking head with this shit for them to see it. And that's not me. It's hard for me to do that, man. But God damn it, lately, I just feel like that's the only choice anymore. I hate feeling only like myself and a handful of other people out there get this. I mean, if you understand this, you can understand the whole reason why Jones and Ron Paul and that whole thing is a fucking fraud. Oh, man, let me move on to some other stuff. I'm just getting too worked up. Well, here's another one about your buddy Santorum here. By the way, apparently there's a thread on the Daily Paul, Ron Paul website. Rick Santorum's a part of a secretive right-wing group. Ooh, the CMP. And these idiots on here. Oh, I have no idea. I mean, they're posting this as if this is ammo, you know, for Ron Paul against Rick Santorum. You do understand that Ron Paul has connections 18 ways to Sunday to the CMP as well, right? Grover Norquist, one of his buddies, who's one of the biggest fucking... Oh, my God. Grover Norquist, give me a fucking break, dude. That guy's one of the most high-level operatives there is in this whole thing, and he's a puff to boot. Yeah, they're all puffs. But anyway, you know, these people won't even point out or look at the fact that You know, it's very, very possible Ron Paul's a member of this group. I'd be undoubtedly surprised if Ron Paul wasn't a member of the CMP, but we can't get any current membership lists. But all of his buddies always have been. And, you know, Lou Lehrman is a big buddy of Ron Paul. Scott, co-founder of the Heritage Foundation, for God's sakes. They wrote a gold book together, the Case for Gold. Lou Lehrman's a Knight of Malta. I mean, these guys are all connected eight ways to Sunday, man. But people are now, you know, but people have gone on that Daily Paul article and posted some stuff about the Secret Rights. So thanks to those people who've done that. Please continue to do that. But here's another connection. Former Abramoff-linked lobbyist helped Santorum in South Carolina. So yet another CMP connection there. Abramoff was a Council for National Policy member before he went up the river for his stuff, but he's, you know, he's back in business. He's rolling the game. That shit was all for show anyway. They had to burn him and expose that shit to the public so the public would think that it's over and it doesn't go on anymore because, you know, they had a big scandal and Tom DeLay lost his job and all this stuff and went to prison and, you know, so that was the end of lobby. They made the movie, you know, Casino Jack, and they, you know, that to the public now, it was a slick PR campaign, I thought, last year. Or the year before, whenever that was, putting out the Casino Jack and the documentary and the Kevin Spacey movie back to back, right as Abramoff was getting out of jail. That was a slick PR campaign. Don't think for a second it wasn't. Because they want you to believe, they want the public to believe that lobbying and all this stuff died when Abramoff and DeLay went to jail. And it absolutely did not. And in fact, I think Abramoff himself has gone on the record and said it's even fucking worse than it was before he went upriver. But see, to the public eye, that's what they do. That's why they allow some of these things to blow up sometimes. That's why they have cases where, you know, they'll have one case of something in the media, and then once it happens, people think that it just doesn't happen anymore, and that's just not the truth. Let's see what else we have here on the news bag tonight. Apparently, Elizabeth Warren, I guess who's the head of the Occupy stuff, has taken a bunch of money from Wall Street, $40 million from Wall Street in the last 7 years. Yeah. Yeah, Occupy my nuts, bitch. Oh, shit. What else do we have? Oh, there's it was strange last night. Right before I was getting ready to do the show last night, I was sitting in here at my desk, and I have this glass desk that wraps around. And my desk kind of rattled, and something fell off of it. And I was like, oh, that was weird. What was that? And I was it didn't even dawn on me. And it was right before I started the show last night, so it was right around midnight or so. And then I woke up today and I saw this, and I went, "Motherfucker, that's what it was." Some North Texans may have felt a whole lot of shaking going on. Earthquake rattled parts of the Metroplex Friday morning. The earthquake happened just after midnight. Was centered near the Love Field area. Well, Love Field's not very far from where I am. So, West Northwest Highway and Inwood Road. Oh, that's real close. Yeah, and that one happened around midnight. Yeah, around midnight, just around midnight, just after midnight. Yeah, that was right when I was starting, because I started the show a little later last night. I started about 12:30. Yep, that must have been what it was, huh? That's crazy. I've never felt an earthquake before. It didn't really feel like an earthquake. I just felt like my desk, like, kind of rattled or shaking. Something fell off, you know what I mean? Like, something that felt like, I don't remember what it was, a pen or a lighter or something. But, you know, something that normally would have to have some kind of energy behind it to fall off. And I was like, why did it fall on the ground? That was weird. I kind of heard my rocks, my crystals on my thing shake a little bit. Yeah, that's very strange. We're starting to get earthquakes in Dallas, folks. That's pretty bizarre. Definitely some tectonic activity going on. Seems that yet another ancient city has been discovered. I mean, right as I'm working on this for the next film, we're starting to see more and more of this. I know we've got some listeners in St. Louis, and that's exactly where this takes place. The Lost City of Chicoya, or Yeah, Cahokia. Yeah, Cahokia. Archaeologists uncover Native American sprawling metropolis under St. Louis. And I'll drop a picture in the chat room of what that looks like. I mean, under St. Louis, my goodness. That's what I'm telling you, folks. It's all around us. I mean, this thing's got pyramids and all kinds of crazy stuff. A sprawling Native American metropolis, which lay hidden beneath a modern city for a millennium, has been discovered. Archaeologists digging in preparation for the Mississippi River spanning bridge, which will connect Missouri and Illinois, discovered the lost city of Cahokia beneath modern St. Louis. Their findings pointed to a sophisticated, sprawling metropolis stretching across both sides of the Mississippi. Cahokia, which is near Collinsville in Illinois, was initially believed to be just a seasonal encampment, but experts now think it was a location of much more significance. Mr. Lawler wrote, a millennium ago, this strategic spot along the Mississippi River was an affluent neighborhood of Native Americans set amid the largest concentration of people and monumental architecture north of what is now Mexico. Back then, hundreds of well-thatched rectangular houses, carefully aligned along the cardinal direction, stood here, overshadowed by dozens of enormous earthen mounds flanked by large ceremonial plazas. Cahokia proper was the only pre-Columbian city north of the Rio Grande, and it was large even by European and Mesoamerican standards of the day, drawing immigrants from hundreds of kilometers around to live, work, and participate in mass ceremonies. And the latest excavation uncovered evidence of more than 500 thatched houses. At its peak, the city would have been home to 100,000 Native Americans. So again, more and more of these are just being found every day. It's amazing what's right beneath us. And I've been pondering this question a lot since I've been looking at this information, and I've been, you know, it's been become very apparent to me that, you know, the only reason that they would want to hide this evidence of civilizations and people on Earth, you know, for a lot longer than they will admit to, you know, you think to yourself, why would they want to hide that from us? Well, what's become obvious to me, I think, has been that the reason you'd want to hide that from people is because, well, I mean, folks, you know, the reset button has been hit on this planet several times. I mean, that doesn't require you to believe in any fairy tales or religion or anything else to understand, although a lot of people think it does. It doesn't. When you dig down far enough, you reach archaeological records in the rock and the soil and the dirt that show that there have been multiple extinction level events on this planet. I mean, you had, you get down there far enough, you find a layer of pre-flood ash that occurred before the Great Flood. Now, the Bhagavad Gita talks about prior to that, this, you know, event where they unleash these nuclear weapons and reduce the entire earth to ash. And it seems that the elite are aware of cycles and are aware that there are fixed timescales in which humans exist on this planet for a period of time and then are wiped out and then are either replaced with something else or what few is left starts over and builds on top of the old. We have built our entire civilization on this planet up to this point in 2012. On the remnants of people and civilizations that existed long before us that we're being told never existed or not being told the existence of. Why? Is it because they want to do that, they're planning on doing that to us as well? I mean, is there going to be an extinction level event and one day are there going to be people, civilizations built on what we now call our world? You know, are people going to be digging in their backyard one day and find, you know, an iPod buried in their garden somewhere and take it and ask somebody what it is? And they're going to say, I don't know. I don't know where that came from. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's weird. Because, you know, like we read last night, you know, finding nails in crystal and pieces of coal, you know, that you crack open and there's a pot, a kettle inside of it, you know. Obviously, there's been civilizations rising and falling on this planet And I think that if I'm mistaken, but I believe that isn't that what the Maya talk about? No, the Mayans or the Hopis. I can't remember which one it is. I think it's the Mayans, about these different cycles of the Earth. They're numbered. I can't remember what they're called, but I believe the Mayans have, you know, it's like Earth 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the different incarnations or the different, it just seems that our planet, you know, has civilization for a period of time, and then someone or something or some event happens and a reset button occurs, and then things start all over, and they just build on the new and lie to the new inhabitants and tell them that, you know, no, that's just natural formations or what have you. I mean, it just seems that, you know, a lot of people speculated that that may be the case. I don't know, man. Just wanted to put it out there because it's something I've been thinking about as the course of researching this information. Yeah, the root races. Yeah, there you go. That's what I was thinking of. Got a couple of emails here. Since I've been seeing your news articles about ancient ruins in the U.S., knowing what we know about discoveries of antiquities preceding trouble, it seems to me that all these discoveries are opening up the way and signaling for a military conflict right here in the U.S. Houses will need to be cleared or destroyed in order to for the modern-day Templar special forces to get these ancient ruins and loot them. Yeah. Well, it's very true. But as it stands now, I think that, you know, a lot of the stuff they've been able to, you know, it just depends on what else they find, you know, what else they locate. I don't think it's a coincidence that L3, one of the biggest military contractors, a division of British Aerospace, one of the biggest contractors of the CIA and the Pentagon, happened to build their one of their complexes in Rockwall right on top of one of the rock rooms, you know. And I immediately, when I found that out, I was like, well, it very well could be that they, you know, they built these structures on top of these buildings. If nobody knows what's in these offices, you could have a dig. You could be digging inside of an enclosed building. You understand what I mean? You go in and just dig through the floor. So people see this office and they think it's just, this is just an office building or whatever, and they don't know there's a big, massive underground drilling operation going on in there. And it's fascinating stuff. Let's see what else we have. Three arrested for peddling miracle cure from stem cells. Three men were arrested and a fourth is being sought by the FBI in connection with what investigators said was a scheme to market stem cells as miracle cures to desperate people suffering from terminal diseases. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Think about this for a minute. Protecting the public from unproven and potentially dangerous drug and medical procedures is very important. Now, wait a minute. The stem cells fucking work, dude. That's how that's a scientific fact. So what's happening is that now they're starting to become a black market for stem cells because people have figured out that it's a cure-all for anything. The medical industry doesn't like that. So a black market pops up and, all of a sudden, they're saying, oh, we're doing this to protect the public. Bullshit. Bullshit. David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger and Baron Rothschild and all these guys are all sucking down stem cell smoothies every fucking day for lunch. It tastes stem cell-y. Tastes like a baby. Little napkin there. Oh, hey. Oh, Heinz, you've got a little... You've got a little baby extract on your lips there. Let me get it for you, yes. Smithers, bring me some more stem cell smoothies. Yes, they're so yummy. Mm. Literally, man, these guys, I mean, fucking David Rockefeller's like 94, folks. That motherfucker don't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. Kissinger's like 90-something. Yeah, these guys are sucking down the stem cell smoothies, and they know people are starting to find out about it, and the black market's popping up, and they're getting scared. Yeah, well, we're on to you now, cocksuckers. Mystery of disappearing 3.5-ton underwater statue off the Italian coast. Italian police are trying to solve the mysterious disappearance of a 3.5-ton statue of a saint which has stood on the seabed of the coast of Calabria since 2007. The statue was securely embedded in concrete 95 feet beneath the surface of the sea. Authorities are baffled as to who or what could have removed the bronze statue from the St. Francis of Paolo, which stands 7.2 feet high and was securely embedded in concrete 95 feet beneath the surface of the sea. The hooded figure with one arm raised in supplication is one of several saintly statues which dot the Italian coastline and are meant to protect fishermen and scuba divers. Now, that's creepy anyway. They got these big fucking statues into the water, these saints. That's weird. But so, you know, dude, you know how much that metal's worth? Somebody went down there with a tugboat and just pulled that motherfucker out of there, drug it off and melted it down and got some crash. Oh my, some mystery where it went. Tell you where it went. Went some guy's fucking scrap heaps where it went. So when it went to somebody's fucking case of Natty Light and some fucking crystal meth. That's where it went. Out of fucking control. Not a lot of material tonight, guys. Not a lot of stuff. We're going to get into the Kabbalion tonight. But if you got emails, love to have them. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Again, please support our work, folks. We've had, it's been pretty slow for donations over the past couple of weeks. We really need support right now. We've got a fundraiser going on for this month. If you get into the next film, you can also get copies of the new film up there. Those are the sales of those have been pretty bad too. It's like they tapered off. We have like the hardcore listeners bought some, and once those people bought them, that's been pretty much it. So please support us that way as well. We're going to take a break, come back, and get into the Kabbalion for you here tonight. This is the Global Reality. Stay with us.
Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And Friday night, yeah, hope you guys are doing well out there. And I hope you're ready for more of the Kabbalion tonight. Chapter 14, Mental Gender. That's what we're going to be getting into here. My website, theglobalreality.com. TheGlobalReality.com. Love to see you in the chat room as well. Interactive part of the discussion. And people can come in there and tell me how they don't like the music that I play. To which I say, you can suck my dick. Because it's my radio show. It's my radio network. And I play what I want to play. And blah, 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 blah. Anyway. there it is. You motherfuckers. Yeah. But anyway, TheGlobalReality.com. Archive shows up there. You can find all a lot of the older shows. You can also find a lot of the older shows on archive.org. You can go to YouTube, type Josh Reeves in. You can find a lot of shows and audio clips and lots of stuff up there. If you're just absolutely thirsty and craving for more Global Reality, there's lots of Global Reality to be had all over the internet if you know how to look and search and all that stuff, and a whole lot up there on my website as well. We also have the 2012 kickoff fundraiser going on this month. Please help us meet our goal, and the faster we meet it, the faster we can start getting to work on the next stuff I want to do. We also have the donate button if you want to make a donation or a grant or something to us. Say, hey, here's some cash. You know, put this into the kitty and make it work. You can do that. We also have a monthly subscription. If you want to make a recurring donation, you can do it that way. Put it in there. It comes out of your bank account every month. No fuss. You can cancel it at any time. And the postal mail thing has kind of been, we got to renew that. So please don't send anything to the post office box right now. Somebody said they had a problem with PayPal, one of our regular donators. I found that if you call PayPal and tell them what your problem is. One of our listeners had a problem with switching banks or something. Generally, it's hard to get your problem solved online, messing with their interface. But if you call them and tell them what your problem is, they have really have really good customer service. Any problems? I've had problems with PayPal before. We got our account hacked one time, and some guy in fucking Singapore bought a fucking phone and all this shit, and it was a pain in the ass. But we got the money back. But I would just, if you have problems with PayPal like that, it's fucking you around, please call them, and I'll let you know when we get the P.O. Box thing back up. I mean, it costs money to renew it, and I only got it for 6 months before, and we didn't really get a lot in from it, but I've noticed that it seems to be, kind of a lifesaver to have as a second, lifeline in case people don't, absolutely can't use PayPal. So I hope to have that back up and running for you next week, so I'll let you know when, but until now, you can use that way. We also have the below where on the right-hand side of the page, below where it says donate via postal mail, there's also an Amazon.com wish list button there. And you can go there, and there's different things that we have on the list or things that we're going to need for the next film. So you can go there if you want to if you don't want to make a cash donation, but you want to help out with what I'm trying to do here with the work, you can go there, buy something off that list. Pay for it securely through Amazon. They send it to me with my information they already have on file. It's easy. It's quick. You don't have to do anything else. You can just purchase something off there, and they mail it directly to me. So that's another way to do it. So there you go. I find that if I don't, I have to constantly point these things out and say and let people know almost every show that they're there because, people come in new listening all the time, and sometimes we get a new rash of listeners. I think that's what's been going on. I'm just a terrible self-promoter. It bothers me to even have to, tell people to support us. I hate having to do that at all. But, I've noticed that, times when I'll look at our listenership and our numbers and I'll notice that those are going up. Right. But our support is not going up. And that seems to be a common trend, but I think that probably has to do with the fact that we're getting new listeners in all the time, but not every single day do I go through the list and tell you, the particulars of how to support our work and you know, how we don't have commercials. We don't have any money coming in from that, strictly from the people who listen to the show. So, I think I've got to, you know, kind of make a mental note to try and do that and let people know. I know it sucks for everybody who already knows that. And I hate to have to do it all the time, but I have noticed that, you know, we do have better results when I do tell people that. So, you know, for you people who get tired of hearing it, I apologize, but it's just the only reason I've found that it's necessary to do, and probably necessary to do more of, is just because, you know, again, it's just numbers. You know, I look at the numbers, I look at the listenership, and I look at the amount of, the past month, and even the month before that, when I was mostly working on the film, we've been streaming ungodly amount of, I don't look at numbers and all that shit very much. I don't really care about all that. I don't care. On other networks I was on, it was like a game for these guys, you know, all the hosts, it would be like, you know, pissing contest, whose dick's bigger, you know, and, I wouldn't care. And I'd always get, you know, big numbers, but I wouldn't care. And then people who would care would try to start shit with you, you know, that kind of thing. But I was just looking at the numbers recently on what we streamed the past few months. It's been insane. And that's, again, you know, that's a further why I've continued to, you know, iterate to people how you support our work and stuff, just because with the amount of listenership that we've had over the past 6 months, and what an increase that was from the 6 months beforehand. You know, if every single one of the, let's just say this, if every single person listened to my show a month donated $1, I could fund my next film very easily. So that's pretty sad, isn't it? That was something, I mean, we got like maybe 1% of the listening audience that supports our work. But obviously, you know, if there's that many people listening, obviously it's worth something to you, right? It's at least worth you listening to me get up here and make an ass of myself every night. That's worth something. Even if you don't like me or like my information, you just think I'm an ass clown, so you listen for that reason. Well, hey, at least you're getting something out of it. I'm giving you my ass clowniness for your entertainment. There you go. That's, you know, drop a little something in the chipping banner for us. Thank you very much. All right, let's get into chapter 14 for you tonight from the Kabbalion, Mental Gender. Students of psychology who have followed the modern trend of thought along the lines of mental phenomenon are struck by the persistence of the dual mind idea, which has manifested itself so strongly during the past 10 or 15 years, which has given rise to a number of plausible theories regarding the nature and constitution of these two minds. The late Thomas J. Hudson attained great popularity in 1893 by advancing his well-known theory of the objective and subjective minds, which he held existed in every individual. Other writers have attracted almost equal attention by the theories regarding the conscious and subconscious minds, the voluntary and involuntary minds, the active and passive minds, etc., etc. The theories of the various writers differ from each other, but there remains the underlying principle of the duality of mind. The student of the Hermetic philosophy is tempted to smile when he reads and hears of these many new theories regarding the duality of mind, each school adhering tenaciously to its own pet theories and each claiming to have discovered the truth. The student turns back the pages of occult history, and away back in the dim beginnings of occult teachings, he finds references to the ancient Hermetic doctrine of the principle of gender. On the mental plane, the manifestation of mental gender, and examining further, he finds that the ancient philosophy took cognizance of the phenomenon of the dual mind and accounted for it by the theory of mental gender. This idea of mental gender can be explained in a few words to students who are familiar with the modern theories just alluded to. The masculine principle of mind corresponds to the so-called objective mind, conscious mind, voluntary mind, active mind, etc. And the feminine principle of mind corresponds to the so-called subjective mind, subconscious mind, involuntary mind, passive mind, etc. Of course, the Hermetic teachings do not agree with the many modern theories regarding the nature of the two phases of mind, nor does it admit many of the facts claimed for the two respective aspects. Some have said of the theories and claims being very far-fetched and incapable of standing the test of experiment and demonstration. We point to the phases of agreement merely for the purpose of helping the student to assimilate his previously acquired knowledge with the teachings of the Hermetic philosophy. Students of Hudson will notice that the statement at the beginning of the second chapter of the Law of Psychic Phenomenon, the mystic jargon of the Hermetic philosophers, discloses the same general idea, i.e. the duality of mind. If Dr. Hudson had taken the time and trouble to decipher a little of the mystic jargon of the Hermetic philosophy, he might have received much light upon the subject of the dual mind, but then perhaps his most interesting work might not have been written. Let us now consider the Hermetic teachings regarding mental gender. The Hermetic teachers impart their instruction regarding this subject by bidding their students examine the report of their consciousness regarding their self. The students are bidden to turn their attention inward upon the self dwelling within each. Each student is led to see that his consciousness gives him first a report of the existence of his self. The report is, I am. This, at first, seems to be the final words from the consciousness, but a little further examination discloses the fact that this I am may be separated or split into two distinct parts or aspects, which, while working in unison and in conjunction, yet, nevertheless, may be separated in consciousness. While at first there seems to be only an I existing, a more careful and closer examination reveals the fact that there exists an I and a me. These mental twins differ in their characteristics and nature, and an examination of their nature and the phenomena arising from the same will throw much light upon many of the problems of mental influence. Let us begin with a consideration of the me, which is usually mistaken for the I by the student until he presses the inquiry a little further back into the recesses of consciousness. A man thinks of his self in its aspect of me as being composed of certain feelings, tastes, likes, dislikes, habits, peculiar ties, characteristics, etc., all of which go to make up his personality or the self known to himself and others. He knows that these emotions and feelings change, are born and die away, are subject to the principle of rhythm and the principle of polarity, which take him from one extreme of feeling to another. He also thinks of the me as being certain knowledge gathered together in his mind and thus forming a part of himself. This is the me of man. But we have proceeded too hastily. The me of many men may be said to consist largely of their consciousness, of the body and their physical appetites, etc. Their consciousness being largely bound up with their bodily nature, they practically live there. Some men even go so far as to regard their personal apparel as a part of their me and actually seem to consider it a part of themselves. A writer has humorously said that men consist of three parts, soul, body, and clothes. These clothes-conscious people would lose their personality if divested of their clothing by savages upon the occasion of a shipwreck. That's funny. But even many who are not so closely bound up with the idea of personal raiment stick closely to the consciousness of their bodies being their me. They cannot conceive of a self independent of the body. Their mind seems to them to be practically a something belonging to their body, which in many cases indeed it is. Well, you know what, I think of that in terms of myself. I'm not tatted up by any means, but I have four tattoos. They're pretty small, but I have four tattoos on my body. And I heard somebody say one time that a tattoo is the way that the soul leaves its mark upon the body. And I thought that was an amazing way of putting it. You know, it's like we're born into these bodies and we're born with what we get, whether we like it or not. And we're forced to deal with it and that's it. And, you know, now they're coming up with new ways to augment that. But, you know, that's why people get tattoos and they, you know, have their hair a certain way or a certain color and will dress a certain way or in a certain style and things of that nature, because it's a way that sort of who they're, as what they're calling here is the I. And I would say that the I is the soul and the me is, you know, the personality of the meat suit that the I is existing in. And so because a lot of our, of who we are, I mean, it's amazing. People, but that's one thing I know better than anything else is people. And people, we're so amazing because a big part, not completely who we are, but a big part of who we are is comprised of the personality of this soul that inhabits us. And, you know, the outward, I mean, that's, I'll be honest with you. That's how, I mean, I look in the mirror and I look at myself and I'm like, really? That's me? My outward reflect, my outward appearance to me doesn't seem what my, what it's inside my head. You know what I mean? It's just strange. Like, really? That's what I look like? Okay. And so I think that that's why we do these things. That's why we get tattoos and piercings and, you know, we have our hair a certain way or anything else, because it's kind of a way that we augment this flesh suit that we're, that our soul is inhabiting. And, you know, for whatever reason, our souls don't feel that the current stock operating system properly reflects their, who they really are. And so, you know, that's what we do in response to that. Because there's just no question, folks, we are spirits in the material world. We are energy trapped, you know, it's soul enslavement, spiritual bondage. We're trapped here in these bodies for a period of time. And death is not the end. Death is not the last thing. It's not the lights just don't go out and that's it. But why? Well, think about it. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Right? That's a fact. Think about that. We're all energy. Every living thing has energy. It has a light in it. There's you know, the transhumanists, these guys have driven themselves crazy because they can reproduce every, you know, every element of a human, recreate a human, but they can't animate it. They can't get that spark, the soul, the life force to inhabit that body they've created. And energy can either be created or destroyed. It just changes forms. And these understanding of these other forms is in understanding how those realms operate and work, and being able to have a clear mental understanding of their functioning while in this dimension is another one of the big teachings and the big secrets of the mystery religions and the secret societies, etc. But as man rises in the scale of consciousness, he is able to disentangle his me from his idea of body, and is able to think of his body as belonging to the mental part of him. But even then, he is very apt to identify the me entirely with the mental states, feelings, etc., which he feels to exist within him. He is very apt to consider these internal states as identical with himself, instead of there being simply things produced by some part of his mentality and existing within him, of him, and in him, but still not himself. He sees that he may change these internal states of feelings by all effort of will, and that he may produce a feeling or a state of an exactly opposite nature. In the same way, and yet the same me exists. And so after a while, he's able to set aside these various mental states, emotions, feelings, habits, qualities, characteristics, etc., and other personal mental belongings, and he is able to set them aside in the not-me collection of curiosities and encumbrances, as well as valuable possessions. This requires much mental concentration and power of mental analysis on the part of the student. But still, the task is possible for the advanced student, and even those not so far advanced are able to see in the imagination how the process may be performed. After this laying aside process has been performed, the student will find himself in conscious possession of a self which may be considered in its I and me dual aspects. The me will be felt to be a something mental in which thoughts, ideas, emotions, feelings, and other mental states may be produced. It may be considered as the mental womb, as the ancients styled it, capable of generating mental offspring. It reports to the consciousness as a me with latent powers of creation and generation of mental progeny of all sorts and kinds. Its powers of creative energy are felt to be enormous, but still, it seems to be conscious that it must receive some form of energy from either its eye companion or else from some other eye where it is able to bring into its mental creations. This consciousness brings with it a realization of an enormous capacity for mental work and creative ability. But the student soon finds that this is not all that which he finds within his inner consciousness. He finds that there exists a mental something which is able to will that the me act along certain creative lines, and which is also able to stand aside and witness the mental creation. This part of himself he is taught to call his I. He is able to rest in its consciousness at will. He finds there not a consciousness of an ability to generate and actively create in the sense of the gradual process attendant upon mental operations, but rather a sense and consciousness of an ability to project an energy from I to the me, a process of willing that the mental creation begin and proceed. He also finds that the I is able to stand aside and witness the operations of the me's mental creation and generation. There is this dual aspect in the mind of every person. The I represents the masculine principle of mental gender. The me represents the female principle. The I represents the aspect of being. The me represents the aspect of becoming. You will notice that the principle of correspondence operates on this plane just as it does upon the great plane upon which the creation of universes is performed. The two are similar in kind, although vastly different in degree, as above, so below, as below, so above. These aspects of mind, the masculine and feminine principles, the I and the me, considered in connection with the well-known mental and psychic phenomenon, give the master key to these dimly known regions of mental operation and manifestation. The principle of mental gender gives the truth underlying the whole field of the phenomenon of mental influence. The tendency of the feminine principle is always in the direction of receiving impressions, while the tendency of the masculine principle is always in the direction of giving or expressing. The feminine principle has much more varied field of operation than has the masculine principle. The feminine principle conducts the work of generating new thoughts, concepts, ideas, including the work of the imagination. The masculine principle contents itself with the work of the will in its varied phases. And yet, without the active aid of the will of the masculine principle, the feminine principle is apt to rest content with generating mental images which are the result of impressions received from outside instead of producing original mental creations. Persons who can give continued attention and thought to a subject actively employ both of the mental principles, the feminine in the work of the mental generation, and the masculine will in stimulating and energizing the creative portion of the mind. The majority of persons really employ the masculine principle, but little, and are content to live according to the thoughts and ideas instilled into the me from the I of other minds. But it is not our purpose to dwell upon this phase of the subject, which may be studied from any good textbook upon psychology, with a key that we have given you regarding mental gender. The student of psychic phenomenon is aware of the wonderful phenomenon classified under the head of telepathy, thought transference, mental influence, suggestion, hypnotism, etc. Many have sought for an explanation of these varied phases of phenomenon under the theories of the various dual mind teachers. And in a measure, they are right. For there is clearly a manifestation of two distinct phases of mental activity. But if such students will consider these dual minds in the light of the Hermetic teachings regarding vibrations and mental gender, they will see that the long-sought-for key is at hand. In the phenomena of telepathy, it is seen how the vibratory energy of the masculine principle is projected toward the feminine principle of another person, and the latter takes the seed thought and allows it to develop into maturity. In the same way, suggestion and hypnotism operates. The masculine principle of the person giving the suggestion directs a stream of vibratory energy or willpower toward the feminine principle of the other person, and the latter accepting it makes it its own, and acts and thinks accordingly. An idea thus lodged in the mind of another person grows and develops, and in time is regarded as the rightful mental offspring of the individual. Whereas in reality, like the cuckoo egg placed in the sparrow's nest, where it destroys the rightful offspring and makes itself at home. The normal method is for the masculine and feminine principles in a person's mind to coordinate and act harmoniously in conjunction with each other. But unfortunately, the masculine principle in the average person is too lazy to act. And the display of willpower is too slight, and the consequence is that such persons are ruled almost entirely by the minds and wills of other persons, who they allow to do their thinking and willing for them. How few original thoughts or original actions are performed by the average person? Are not the majority of persons mere shadows and echoes of others having stronger wills or minds than themselves? Absolutely. The trouble is that the average person dwells almost altogether in his me consciousness and does not realize that he has such a thing as an I consciousness. He is polarized in his feminine principle of mind, and the masculine principle in which is lodged the will is allowed to remain inactive and not employed. The strong men and women of the world invariably manifest the masculine principle of will, and their strength depends materially upon this fact. Instead of living upon the impressions made upon their minds by others, they dominate their own minds by their will, obtaining the kind of mental images desired, and moreover, dominate the minds of others likewise. And in the same manner, look at the strong people, how they manage to implant their seed thoughts in the minds of the masses of the people, thus causing the latter to think thoughts in accordance with the desires and wills of the strong individuals. This is why the masses of people are such sheep-like creatures, never originating an idea of their own, nor using their own powers of mental activity. Amen to that. The manifestation of mental gender may be noticed all around us in everyday life. The magnetic persons are those who are able to use the masculine principle in the way of impressing their ideas upon others. The actor who makes people weep or cry as he wills is employing this principle. And so is the successful orator, statesman, preacher, writer, or other people who are before the public attention. This peculiar influence exerted by some people over others is due to the manifestation of mental gender. Along the vibrational lines above indicated, in this principle lies the secret of personal magnetism, personal influence, fascination, etc., as well as the phenomenon generally grouped under the name of hypnotism. The student who has familiarized himself with the phenomenon generally spoken of as psychic will have discovered the important part played in the said phenomenon by that force which science has styled suggestion, by which term is meant the process or method whereby an idea is transferred to or impressed upon the mind of another, causing the second mind to act in accordance therewith. A correct understanding of suggestion is necessary in order to intelligently comprehend the varied psychical phenomenon which suggestion underlies. But still more is a knowledge of vibration and mental gender necessary for the student of suggestion. For the whole principle of suggestion depends upon the principle of mental gender and vibration. It is customary for the writers and teachers of suggestion to explain that it is the objective or voluntary mind which makes the mental impression or suggestion upon the subjective or involuntary mind. But they do not describe the process or give us any analogy in nature whereby we may be more readily able to comprehend the idea. But if you will think of the matter in the light of the Hermetic teachings, you will be able to see that the energizing of the feminine principle by the vibratory energy of the masculine principle is in accordance to the universal laws of nature, and that the natural world affords countless analogies whereby the principle may be understood. In fact, the Hermetic teachings show that the very creation of the universe follows the same law, and that in all creative manifestations upon the planes of the spiritual, the mental, and the physical, there is always in operation this principle of gender, this manifestation of the masculine and the feminine principles. As above, so below. As below, so above. And more than this, when the principle of mental gender is once grasped and understood, the varied phenomenon of psychology at once becomes capable of intelligent classification and study, instead of being very much in the dark. The principle works out in practice because it is based upon the immutable universal laws of life. We shall not enter into an extended discussion of or description of the varied phenomenon of mental influence or psychic activity. There are many books, many of them quite good, which have been written and published on this subject of late years. The main facts stated in these various books are correct, although the several writers have attempted to explain the phenomenon by various pet theories of their own. The student may acquaint himself with these matters, and by using the theory of mental gender, he will be able to bring order out of chaos of conflicting theory and teachings, and may, moreover, readily make himself a master of the subject if he so be inclined. The purpose of this work is not to give an extended account of psychic phenomenon, but rather to give the student a master key whereby he may unlock the many doors leading into the parts of the temple of knowledge which he may wish to explore. We feel that in this consideration of the teachings of the Kybalion, one may find an explanation which will serve to clear away many perplexing difficulties, a key that will unlock many doors. What is the use of going into detail regarding all of the many features of the psychic phenomenon and mental science provided we place in the hands of the student the means whereby he may acquaint himself fully regarding any phase of the subject which may interest him? With the aid of the Kybalion, one may go through any occult library anew, the old light from Egypt illuminating many dark pages and obscure subjects. That is the purpose of this book. We do not come expounding a new philosophy, but rather furnishing the outlines of a great world-old teaching, which will make clear the teachings of others, which will serve as a great reconciler of differing theories and opposing doctrines. And that's the end there of that chapter, chapter 14. The chapter 15 is our next one. We're getting to the end of the book. Hermetic Axioms, chapter 15. We'll get into that next time on the show. Wow. Whew, powerful stuff there. And that was a long chapter, but a lot of good info there. And definitely, that's one you're going to want to go back and listen to and kind of absorb, because out of all the chapters that we've read of this book so far, that's the one that I can just 100% fully, back up and tell you that, you know, yeah, that's absolutely right on what was in that chapter. So good stuff there. Want to thank everybody for tuning in and being with us tonight for another late night edition of the show and a Friday night edition here for you. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. Go there and get yourself a copy of the Blu-ray or the DVD of The Secret Rite Volume 2. And please go to the website, TheGlobalReality.com, and make a donation or a chipping banner or a donate button, folks. We need to get some support in here right now. Thanks to everybody out there for being here with us this week. My name is Josh Reeves, and I love each and every one of you, and we'll see you next time. You guys have a great weekend. Take care.